opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the type for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number two.
Is 97.5 still down?
Yeah, no, apparently it's back.
Titan, yeah. Hugo says Four Loko Gold tastes like Robitussin.
Is that? Well,
we didn't have gold,
Tyler's though, right?
That's going to chug next week.
So,
I know.
Yeah.
Brandon's here. Brandon.
Brandon is behind.
Mega.
So
we're behind a little bit. Cheers to Brandon, who's one of the masterminds behind this whole Twitch thing. So we appreciate him very much.
Among a lot of other stuff.
We've got him a mega.
Oh, by the way, congratulations. Congratulations are in order.
For what?
Dude got engaged.
What?
Yeah. You left the meeting. You didn't get to hear it.
I didn't hear
it. And
that.
It's like his birthday month. Thank you. Turn his mic on, please.
It's on.
Okay.
Yeah, all of those things are true. Birthday month, and I got engaged.
Is she accidentally pregnant?
No, thank goodness. No.
But so you guys have been together for a while, though, right?
8 years. Yeah. 8 years as of Saturday.
Okay, that's good, man. Yeah. That's good. So did you get engaged on Saturday?
I did, yeah.
Okay, when's the wedding?
Probably in a year. Probably next fall.
Who from the station will be invited to the wedding?
I don't know. Maybe David.
What about Juggalo Trey?
He asked, I want Juggalo Trey in the ceremony.
Like you want him to be...
You want him to be the ring boy.
Like the flower girl.
Yeah, the ring boy.
Hey guys, it's me, Trey. Here's some flowers.
I'm going to lose the ring.
I mean, we're halfway kidding about that, but that's actually
that would be a really good idea.
Brilliant. Like that might be the wedding of all weddings.
Well, congratulations, man. That is a big deal. And
I'm talking as much as I can to avoid this mega.
No, just go ahead and do it. Let's get it over. We've got a show to do now.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Sorry, guys.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
And it's not as bad as you think. Believe me, it's...
Well, it ain't good.
No, it's not good, but it's just not awful anymore. It's just flat.
Yeah.
Hey, well, but Brandon hadn't had to do that. So.
Tyler will maybe we'll pour some mega shot into his Four Loko next week.
Hey, you know, I don't want to.
We'll cuvee it.
I don't want to scare anybody, but the mega shot's getting kind of low.
It is. We may have to redo the mega shot, like start from scratch.
What about doing like a bomber? I drop a shot into the beer.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Like an Irish car bomb kind of thing?
Yeah.
Four Loko with a mega shot?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
That sounds like the worst thing ever. I love it.
That would get... You know what, Tyler?
But the only reason why I suggest that is because I don't want to chug the entire 24 ounces of the Four Loko. It would only be like 12 ounces.
And then we'd have... Someone else would have to do the other 12.
Would do the other thing, yeah.
That's a good
idea. The other half.
Well, there was only one gold at the gas station. Maybe that's the way to go.
So you go get the gold, we do that.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good idea. Yeah. Thank you, Tyler.
Yeah, you know, Tyler, you think well when you're...
I got ideas.
Yeah. He's got some things in his mind.
Yeah. Apparently, the winds are kind of bad over Golden Triangle area from this stupid storm, which, you know, other than Bill O'Brien getting fired, 2020 sucks. I mean, completely sucks. Well, UH winning last night was pretty cool. And the Astros winning was pretty cool. We're getting some good news.
Well, I want to know your thoughts now on 97.5, because or on 97.5, on UH. I was just reading that 97.5 is working now, so that's good.
I
want to know your thoughts on UH because, I mean, they covered. You can't feel really good about the performance, though, because their quarterback looks like he kind of sucks.
Actually... If you watch the first 5 minutes, yeah, he looked like he sucked. The guy also only had 12 incompletions, threw for over 300 yards. Once it was obvious that the speed of the game caught him off guard at the beginning. And that was to be expected, right? I mean, and I mentioned this on the Twitch channel. This was the biggest bet I made all year so far. And
that's bold considering they hadn't played a game.
Well, and that was the only thing that concerned me is you're playing a team that had played three games. But everything I had heard from over there was this defense especially was light years better. And I have a couple of people in the program that I talk to a lot that I trust that don't lie to me because they were telling me last year, oh, this team's not going to be very good. But they were telling me this looks like one of Dana's good West Virginia teams, especially on defense. And, you know, they've got depth and they're going to play really well, but they have, you know, they hadn't played a game. The practice speed is not game speed. And the first 10 minutes or so, they weren't ready for it. And I mean, everything went wrong. But when it got to 24-21 at the half, I'm like, oh, they're winning this for fun in the second half, because you could tell they'd adjusted. They made some moves on defense. They gave up one touchdown in the second half, and that was just about as good of – I mean, that Tulane offense made about as perfect a plays as they could to get that touchdown. Like, the long pass was just well covered, and it was just a beautiful pass, and the guy made a great catch, one of those you just tip your hat. But for the most part, they held that team under 100 yards rushing, which this is a running team. And the defensive line looked fantastic. To me, it was basically the second half of the game is what I think they're going to look like the rest of the season. And I'm very encouraged because, I mean, I didn't know what to expect having not played a game. And I'll tell you this, Marquez Stevenson is a stud. I would take him over anything on Kirby right now. That guy, he gets open. The kickoff return was just, that was gold, man. I mean, he's explosive. He's fast. And the one thing I noticed last night is he wasn't the best route runner the last few years. Last night, he ran some terrific routes. He ran himself open. And I think Clayton Tune, once he got past those first five-minute jitters, was pretty damn good. And he had some drop passes that the guy would have thrown for 400. So I came out of that game extremely encouraged. And I know Tulane's not very good, but you also are talking about a team that hadn't played in forever. And, man, defensively especially, they look like a completely different team. They've got depth at all three levels. They had two safeties go out, and you didn't even notice because the two guys who came in were terrific. So I can't wait to see him play BYU because I think that's a better test. I am really glad they got a game under their belt, though. Because, I mean, BYU is no joke. I mean, that's a good football team. But I feel better about UH's chances now after watching them play last night. And I think it was kind of cool because I watched Dana's post game and he's like, oh, well, this sucked and this sucked and this sucked. And, yeah, I'm kind of like, yeah. But you know, it was the first game. And they look like a totally different team from last year. And you knew I was kind of out on them about three games in last year. You can just tell they weren't very good. Well, all those guys he redshirted, all those transfers he brought in, he's got a bunch of men now. I mean, and they did not have that last year. So this isn't even close to the same team. And I think they can beat anybody in conference. That doesn't mean they're going to. I mean, SMU's really good. You know, eventually they're going to have to play Memphis. Central Florida's still good. Cincinnati's good. But they're every bit as good as those teams, I think, or they can be. I mean, I think they can be a lot better than they were last night, and that should be pretty scary. So, yes, I'm excited about them. And, you know, that's the fanboy in me coming out. But by the same token, you know, I put my money where my mouth was, and I was telling you when I left, I was like, I hate when I bet on these guys because it's like it's almost like you get punched in the gut twice if they don't cover. But once they got it to 3 points at halftime – and I got to block a guy on Twitter, too.
Well, because, hey, congratulations.
He was telling me when it's 24-7, you're a bleeping idiot. You know, UH sucks. You suck. You're a horrible handicapper. And I just blocked him, and I kind of wanted to retweet it and say, I bet this tweet doesn't age very well.
Zing.
And you know what? I didn't, just because I'm tired of BS like that. So I just said, yeah. But
very graceful of you.
I'm at the point now where I don't engage stuff like that. I just block you. But yeah, as a UH fan, I was pretty stoked by that. And I think that they're going to take a big step next week. I don't know if it'll be enough, but, you know, I was thinking all along, oh, BYU's going to kill them. BYU's, because I've seen enough of BYU to know they're pretty damn good. But this defensive line is big and fast, and the issues they had early in the game were on the UH offensive line, where they weren't picking up blitzes. They were letting guys run through gaps. That's what caused the interceptions, what caused the sack. But then they as the game went on, they got better and started figuring it out. And they're going to have to, because that's, if you're going to beat BYU, you're going to have to beat them in the trenches. but I feel better about their chances after last night than I did before I watched them play.
I'll say this. I think what I've seen is the key to maybe slowing down BYU. You said the trenches, and I give UTSA a little bit of a chance of hanging with them this week, because, well, at least within the number, which is 35. But one of the things that they do that nobody else that UTEP or that BYU has played has done is use a tight end.
Yeah.
And I think for UH to slow down what's going on with this pass rush from BYU, I think they're going to have to keep tight ends in. I think you have, if you try to go your five linemen against their front, you're going to lose.
The one thing that I also saw them do better as the game went on was the quick passes. And they've got guys who can get, and that's the thing. They had 10 guys catch passes last night. And, you know, we made fun of them for all the red shirts last year. But they've got guys like Bryson Smith, maybe their eighth best receiver. And this guy's a really talented kid. So, I mean, they've got plenty of weapons. And they've got four starters back on the offensive line. Now, they lost a first-round NFL draft pick. But other than that, you know, they've got the guys. It's just the offensive line did not play as well last night as I was hoping they would. But otherwise, man, I'm as optimistic about this team as I have been any UH team since Herman was here.
Okay.
And that's a fairly bold statement, I know. But and I think if you guys listen, you know I'm honest about them, right? I'll tell you if I think they suck. And, you know, last year it was pretty obvious early on. So, yeah, they're, even with De'Aaron King, they're not very good. And if Clayton Tune can play like he did after those early mistakes, then he's more of a Dana Holgorsen type quarterback. And this will sound like a negative, but he's a lot like Geno Smith. Well, Geno Smith was pretty damn good at West Virginia.
Yeah.
And
got
I think
him drafted.
Yeah. And I think he's that kind of guy. And if you got that in college, you're going to be fine. So I don't want to overhype him, but I felt really good by the end of that game last night. All right, quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Cut the roof off like a nip tuck. Pull up to the house with some big butts. Turn the kitchen counter to a strip club. Me and Dre came for the... When I got guap, all of y'all disappeared. You're listening to the Blitz.
Hey, guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. One last thing on the UH game, and then we'll move on. But Peyton Turner was terrific last night. And that's a guy who played like the last month of the season with one hand, two sacks, 4.5 TFLs. I mean, was just a dominant force on the defensive line. So, you know, I'm really encouraged, and I can't wait for the BYU game now, because with a game under their belt, I think they can play with these guys, and I wouldn't have told you that before last night. So, and DeHurting asks, can AJ leave the room so we can get into some of the boys finally? Well, Aaron hasn't watched the last one yet. I did today.
I mean, it came out at midnight. I haven't had time.
Yeah, well, some of us don't ever sleep. So.
I watched episode 3.
All right, I'm no spoilers, but I'm going to give you guys kind of a recap. Episode 3 was really good. Episode 4 was really good. Episode 5 was awful, and I was like, oh, my God, they've ruined this show. And this is why they need to drop them all at once. Because the last three episodes were as good a TV as I have seen since prime Game of Thrones or year one of Walking Dead. I mean, those last three episodes were just unbelievable. And it's a terrific ending where it's set up that if, you know, for season 3, there's all kind of directions they can go. But if there's never another episode, it ends pretty well. So, you know, no spoilers there. But, oh, my God, it was so good. And I almost can't watch anything else now because that was so damn good. It's kind of like everything else is going to be a letdown now. But
okay.
But and if they dropped it all at once, I would call this one of the best seasons of any show ever. But the first two kind of, and you've, since you've seen three, first two kind of dragged.
Yeah.
And then the third episode got really good, and then four was great. And then there was that bad, and I'll just.
I'm curious as why you don't like episode five.
Because it was just all about.
It gave you a lot of backstory that you didn't know.
No, it didn't. It was all the relationship crap. Get Cricket said Fred the Boys isn't even the same ballpark of those shows. No disrespect, Get Cricket. You're way wrong. I mean that. I defy you. Other than Banshee, I defy you to find me three better episodes consecutively than the last three of this season. And if you guys don't think it's that good, then you just don't have any bleeping taste. No offense. You know. But hey, that's all right. You're entitled to your opinion, just like I'm entitled to mine.
I haven't found one episode at all that I've been disappointed with. Of course, I like the relationship building. I like seeing how everybody ties together. And I can't spoil episode
five
right now.
Well, see, you like that. I didn't. I thought it was just like, oh my God, enough of these bitches.
Can I spoil, like, not even a real spoiler for you, AJ? By just describing something that I enjoyed from episode five?
Yeah, go ahead.
I like that Frenchie and Kimiko, you start seeing how they start to expand their relationship and more. That made more sense to me, and I liked the building of it.
Yeah, but they've been building that for almost since she showed up in the show.
But it was like every relationship where you run into a rough patch and you don't know. And then they start going to get, and then all of a sudden it starts to gel again because, oh, hey, it was a miscommunication, and you get back to it. That was just my perspective.
Yeah, but, you know, for those of you who are trying to push your other shows, I'm just telling you, you're not changing my opinion. The last three episodes, and there was, it was very much like season one of Walking Dead, where you might have an episode where you go, eh, and then all of a sudden they follow it up with just something amazing. But, yeah, if you guys didn't enjoy that, then we don't have the same taste. So don't bother telling me about the shows you like because we're not on the same page. Which
I will agree. The previous two episodes before the season finale, which I haven't watched, have been some of the best TV I've watched ever.
This ties it all together beautifully, including a fantastic twist. So I don't know if you call it a twist, but it's one of those things where you go, oh, I didn't see that coming.
My problem was I logged on to social media this morning to do show prep, and I used Reddit because I use different, like the Texans, Rockets, and Astros subreddit to see if I can find any news stories. But when you log on to the front page, I had like six posts in a row from people who watched The Boys right at midnight. Spoiler, 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 spoiler. So yeah. I know that there is something at the end that's going to make me go, oh, crap. I didn't see that coming, but at the same time.
But you don't know what it is? Yeah.
Luckily.
Yeah. It's. But I mean, there were a lot of things in there where I'm just like, really, this happened? But, yeah, I mean, how do you not love something that has Nazis and every, I mean, it's just, I don't know what you guys are looking for if this isn't fun for you. That's all. So, anyway, that's it's my basic non-spoiler. Not Nazis didn't spoil it. That was three episodes ago. By now, you should be caught up.
But AJ's not.
I'm not.
Yeah, but he has no clue what I'm talking about. And he won't figure it out either. So
can we set Tuesday as recap day for the whole season?
Yes, I would like Tuesday to be recap day for The Boys. We could dive into that. Can you be caught up by Tuesday?
No, because I need like until next Thursday because there's football every day.
Yeah, I get that there's football. There's not going to be football Tuesday.
I think there is.
No, they're not going to get that game in. That's going to be a forfeit. So, you know what? Next segment, we'll go through all the NFL lines, which we haven't done all week, and I've been trying to get to them. But now, and I will also say this about the show. It's only two seasons, and it could easily go to – I wish, frankly, they should cut it off right now because it'll go down as one of my best shows ever if they do that. Like they did with Banshee. Banshee was only four seasons. I don't know if you saw this too, but Anthony Starr is really wants to be Wolverine in the X-Men reboot. I think he'd be great.
He looks like he's got the look.
Yeah. Get Cricket, you know what? We're not on the same page, so you don't have to give me your thoughts. The problem with The Boys is all the characters you're supposed to be rooting for are lame. Huey, Mother's Milk, and Frenchie are all extremely unlikable. Dude.
How is Mother's Milk unlikable?
Mother's Milk's awesome. Huey's a dork, okay? I get that, but that's part of his charm. How do you not love Billy Butcher? If you don't love Billy Butcher, you know what you are? What Billy Butcher calls everybody?
Oh, no, that's not nice.
No, but it's fair. It's fair. And if you don't love how disgusting Homelander is, honestly, brother, we don't have the same taste in TV, so just, you don't have to share yours, and I won't share mine with you. How's that?
I can't get over the Mother's Milk thing.
97.5's off again, by the way.
No.
I'm guessing it's weather-related. I'll make a call during the break.
I can't read the name, but let's take a call.
Joel.
Joel. Joel Blank.
Hello?
Yo, Joel. What up?
Hey, fellas. Long time caller. First time on, really. But, hey, I had a little debate we have going on. I've seen it on ESPN as well. Kyle Trask. They're saying his second full year at Florida. Do you see him boosting his draft stock just like Joe Burrow did? And I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate it, guys.
I'll say this.
That's a good question.
It is not a bad question. I didn't think a whole lot of Kyle Trask coming into this season. What I've seen from him on film so far has been really impressive. Now, when we say, will he boost his stock like Joe Burrow did, as in like become the number one overall pick, I'd put the odds of that at about 1%, and that 1% would happen when Trevor Lawrence's head falls off.
And if not Trevor Lawrence, I think Justin Fields is going to be in that conversation. So
I do think Kyle Trask can't, because, and the difference between, I think Kyle Trask has better physical tools than Joe Burrow. Maybe not as smart of a player, maybe not as in as crisp of an offense, and definitely doesn't have the talent around him that Joe Burrow did. But Kyle Trask, his stock is definitely going to shoot up this year. He'll probably end up being a first rounder. He's like 6'5", 6'6". He's a big dude.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, he was De'Aaron King's backup in high school.
At Manville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. But, you know, when they first started playing him last year, I'm watching him, he looked very mechanical. He looked robotic, and it was like it wasn't natural for him. But this is the kind of, and we saw it with Joe, and Joe Burrow's kind of a good example because we saw it from his junior year to his senior year. I mean, he got it, you know, and he was much more fluid. And that's what Trask looks like now. He looks much more fluid. It's much more natural. He's more instinctive. And yeah, I think he can raise his stock, but he's not going to raise it above those two guys.
I'll also say, I mean, Kyle Pitts is doing a lot to make him look good. And
yeah.
Kyle Pitts is another guy who's going to be probably a top five NFL draft pick. He is a nightmare matchup. Like, and I don't know if this may be a question for Lance in the NFL. Is he going to be a wide receiver or a tight end? But he is way too big for cornerbacks to cover, and he is way too fast for linebackers to cover in college. He is going to be a problem matchup at the next level, and he's a problem matchup now.
Yeah, and but I do think, I mean, that's a fair question to ask, is how much he can raise his stock. But this is one of those years where you have a clear number one, and I don't think that's going to change. But that doesn't mean you're not going to get drafted pretty highly. Although, you know, and there's a lot of NFL season left to play, but it kind of feels like last year, how many teams are really desperately in need of a quarterback? And I mean, maybe the Jets have to punt on Darnold at this point. Washington's probably going to have to punt on Haskins. But, yeah, I just wonder how much of a market there's going to be for top 10 picks for quarterbacks right now. Because almost everybody either has their guy or who they think is going to
be. Well,
but
here's what you've also got to consider. So many of these guys that have young quarterbacks, they also have new coaches. So coaches may not be as in love with quarterbacks. Like the Jets are a great example. Adam Gase is probably going to be gone.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some new guy who says, well,
Bill O'Brien,
do I want to take my chances with Sam Darnold?
Bill O'Brien can win with Sam Darnold. I'll tell you that.
I think the Giants are going to go another year before they jump off Daniel Jones. He's shown some flashes. The football team is certainly going to be in the market for a quarterback.
Yeah, I think Now that they benched Haskins, it's pretty obvious. Like, okay, this isn't working.
The Jags are a lock to be looking for a quarterback.
You know what,
I think Minshew, but we've started to see.
We haven't talked about that game yet much, and I guess we'll do that now when we go through the rest of the lines. But Gardner Minshew's actually playing pretty well. Their offense,
you think so?
Yeah, their offense is playing well.
I think their offense is playing well, but it ain't because of him.
It's not.
They're running the ball way better than I thought they were going to, but I think Minshew mania is over.
I don't think he's any good, but he's not playing poorly enough where you can say, oh, we're going to get rid of this guy, especially on a six-round salary.
The other teams I could see maybe looking at a quarterback, Denver, if things don't work with Drew Lock, and I think Carolina is in that conversation if they end up being really bad.
And then I also think maybe Detroit decides it's time to move on from Matthew Stafford. Or
if they get a new coach, that's certainly a possibility. Yeah. And let's also, depending on where the Dallas Cowboys finish, they may make that decision to let someone else pay Dak. They may be in the market for one of these guys as well.
That's an interesting one, because I can't think of the Cowboys as being a team that's going to have a top 10 pick.
They're in line for it now.
Yeah, I know. And all right, let's take a quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
So put your best face on, everybody pretend you know this song, everybody come hang, let's go out with a bang.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. And one of the things we haven't really done yet is look at the lines for the NFL games. Can we do that?
Yep.
We'll start with your beloved Falcons, 1-point favorites at home against Carolina. I have been burned by the Falcons so damn much I can't play this game, but I want to play the Falcons.
I do too, which is I'm also staying away from the side. I do think it's a total over. I don't think neither one of these teams can get pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, this has got to be a 53.5. It's not really that.
It's not crazy. And,
no.
The thing that's keeping it down, there's two things. Julio is probably not going to play because he played a little bit last week and then left again. And Christian McCaffrey's obviously out. So the two biggest offensive weapons in this game are both sidelined.
Jones played pretty well for them last week, and Teddy Bridgewater played really well for them, and this is a terrible Falcons defense. So they're going to score some points. I don't know if they score enough.
The Falcons have no one in the secondary at this point. And when you can't get a pass rush and you have no one in the secondary, a lot of points in my mind. And that's the case for really both these teams.
Yeah, this is a play for me over 53.5 on my bookie, which I am already punched a ticket on. Raiders plus 11.5 at Chiefs, double-digit division dog.
But my problem with this double-digit division dog is they are so banged up. On the offensive line, they are banged up. Their wide receiver core is banged up. Most importantly, their secondary is banged up. And their secondary wasn't great to begin with. And now you take bodies out of there and you've got to stop the Chiefs. It's pretty rough. The number's probably not where I'm betting on the Chiefs, but right. It's certainly not where I'm betting against them.
Yeah, I would love to bet the Raiders here, but I'm not going to get in the way of that Chiefs.
And I've liked the Raiders.
Yeah.
This is just, with the injuries that they've got right now, a terrible matchup.
And, you know, sometimes you just don't want to get in the way of the train. And that's how I feel about the Chiefs. I'm not playing it, and if I had to play it in a pool, I'd take the Chiefs. But ordinarily, I'd be all over the Raiders in that situation. Rams minus 7.5 at the Washington football team. I don't mind Washington covering 7.5. I don't know if I'm going to play it, but it's not like the Rams are really blowing people out. I think they're better than Washington. Washington kind of hangs around. Kyle Allen probably gives them a better chance to hang around.
I don't know.
And the number is the key, because I'm getting the hook here at 7. I think Washington can cover that.
I'm not sure how you felt watching the Rams-Giants last week. I felt like that game showed a lot of problems with the Rams. And it's I'm not the kind of person who's going to go, well, the Giants, their defense is so stout. I just think the Rams' offense is not as good as we thought it was.
No.
And
Washington's defense is not horrible.
They're not. I don't want to play it at this number. I'm definitely not playing the Rams.
Right.
Zero chance unless it gets under seven.
Under seven, I'd like the Rams. Over seven, I kind of like Washington.
I actually used this play or this game when it was 8.5, and I teased the football team up to 14.5.
I like that.
Now it's 7.5. You're teasing through the 10, but you don't get the 14. It's not as valuable. If I had to pick a side, it's probably just a stay away. But I do think you could be looking at an under here. Kyle Allen taking over at quarterback. How much are they going to? And now the other thing is Rivera's coached Kyle Allen before, so he knows him. So it's not like he's got a guy who's never had his playbook starting at quarterback. He knows the system a little bit. He's not going to be lost. But
he had some success with Rivera.
He had some success, and he had some tragic failures as well. This boils down to, do you think the Rams are going to be able to make big plays? And I don't know if they are. So it's probably an underplay for me. And like I said, I used the Redskins, no, the football team in a teaser earlier.
Jaguars now 5.5, plus 5.5 at the Texans. I bet the Jags at 6.5 when it opened. Not huge, small bet.
Yeah, I've got no play on this. I don't trust Jacksonville. I'd love to bet against the Texans. The Texans are a weird thing, though. A lot of people are like, well, when they get a new coach, there's like a newfound energy. But here's the thing. Normally, when a coach gets fired, it's been years and years of losing at an intense rate. I mean, the Texans have had success over the last year. Bill O'Brien's the most successful on-field head coach to be fired in a long time. I mean, you're talking about if you say take...
Actually, though,
go look at every coach that's been fired last 30 games. I guarantee Bill O'Brien's in like the top five in the last 15 years.
Probably, but if you look at his overall record, it's not that good. You throw overall record in playoffs, and he's right at 500 over 6+ years.
Yeah.
So,
but how many guys who are over 500 are getting fired?
Not many. You've got to, but then there's so much else to this. The fact that they made him GM and then he screwed all that up.
No, I get it. But all I'm saying is it's not like I think that there were a lot of Bill O'Brien problems. I believe that. I also think a lot of the Texans' problems came from they just don't have a lot of great players. And in the NFL, at some point, if you've got great players, they'll cover up bad coaching. And this team wasn't able to do it. I don't want to bet on the Texans here, but I also have zero trust in the Jags. They screwed me real good last week.
I see you still got that in your head. Here's what I'm gonna.
Well, the Jags haven't been worth a damn since week one.
No, but they can score points though. And guess what? The Texans can't do. You know what? The most they've scored this year is 23.
Yeah,
and
the Texans haven't stopped the run.
No, they haven't. And
the Jags will run.
And the Jags will be able to run the football. And again, I don't think Gardner Minshew's great. But he's serviceable. And my question about the Texans is, and the reason I didn't play it heavy, if the Texans come out and suddenly play with all this energy and desire, then their players are a bunch of little bitches because they quit on their coach. And, sometimes you have to do that to get rid of him. But if they actually come out and play with energy and intensity that we haven't seen, then... they really are a bunch of little bitches. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to come out and we're going to see pretty much the same team we've seen because it's not like the offense is going to change with this guy. Unless he's some kind of genius and it's all been locked down by Bill O'Brien. And if he were, then wouldn't the play calls have been better before O'Brien took it back? So I don't expect to see much different here. I expect them to be intense for a quarter. They'll come out and they'll play excited because they've got a new coach. But if you just look at it by the numbers, Jacksonville should be a 3-point dog at most here. And, like I said, 5.5, I'm less in love with it, but 6.5, I liked it. So, and I'm not going to be shocked if Jacksonville beats them.
No.
I mean, it's not. Houston's closer to Jacksonville than they are to
the Colts.
Well, I was going to say Pittsburgh.
Oh, way closer. Yeah. I agree with that.
So. All right, let's see. Eagles plus 7 at Steelers. This is a stay away from me. If anything, I'll watch that number. If it gets under 7, I'll be on the Steelers.
I used the when I said I did a teaser earlier, that's the other piece of the teaser. I've got Steelers down to minus 1. I also like this under 44. I think this is it. The Eagles have sucked on offense all year, and I don't think this Steelers defense is the kind of team to get right against on offense. I think they're going to have some hard times moving the ball. And the one thing, if you had to say, here's the best thing about the Eagles, which there ain't a lot, but if you had to say the best thing about the Eagles, you'd say it's their defensive front. I think both these quarterbacks are going to be under pressure throughout the day, and I think that leads to a low-scoring game.
Don't mind that play. So he asked, why would that make the Texans a bunch of little bitches? Because you don't quit. If you're half-assing it because you don't like somebody, you're a bitch. That goes for any job, anywhere in life. If you're going in there and half-assing it because you don't like your boss, then screw you.
Well, Fred and Aaron and I, none of us like the program director, and what do? We come in here,
dick.
We come in here every week and we do our best, all right?
Listen, it's not fun working for somebody who you know isn't very good, but when you fail to do your best because you don't like somebody, or you show up late for work. I mean, that's a character issue to me. And if you do that, then I question your character. And I question you as a human being. And believe me, if they come out and suddenly there's all this effort that we didn't see last week, because we talked about this, all their big money guys last week looked like they were sleepwalking. If they come out and play much differently because of this, then that tells me about your character. And it tells me you're a little bitch. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Your body talks. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. NBA Finals Game 5 tonight, Lakers versus Heat. Be a good place to listen since I know you're not watching. So let's go through the rest of these games. Bengal plus 13 at Baltimore. I'm not another double-digit division dog. I'm not in the habit of giving 13 points. But there's no way in hell I'm betting the Bengals here.
Not betting the Bengals either. These are two of the slowest teams in football. It sounds weird to say under, but both these teams are kind of grinding out the clock before they snap the ball. Pace of play is low. We think of, well, they've got Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow has been good. Joe Burrow he hasn't been awful, but if you really dig into his numbers, he hasn't been great either. There's a lot more buzz about Joe Burrow than there should be, and Lamar Jackson not having a great season so far.
He's coming off a bad game.
Is he one of the top five quarterbacks in the league so far?
Not so far. I mean, but also you got to look at the big picture. I mean, the Chiefs own his ass.
Fred, I'm not saying he's not good anymore. I'm just saying so far this season, he hasn't played like he did last season where he just dominated everyone except for the Chiefs.
Yeah, but they're going to be able to run the ball all over these guys, too.
I think so, too.
And I think that's going to speed it up a little bit.
I think it does the opposite. I think it keeps the clock moving. I like it as an under game. I also think that Joe Mixon's really been kind of the reason why Joe Burrow's had success. Because they finally said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to make Joe Burrow pass 100 times a game like we did week one. Let's just run with Joe Mixon like he's a bell cow back. Clock keeps moving, but the Bengals offense has had more success. I like this game to be an under game.
Yeah, I'm not playing the total, but I also could see the Ravens stopping the run pretty easily, so they're not able to do that, which forces Burrow to throw more, which plays into the Ravens' hands, and that's where I think the game could turn into a faster game than you're predicting. Dolphins plus 9 at 49ers. I like the Dolphins to cover this.
There's so many questions. I mean, we still don't know if Garoppolo's going to play. There's too many questions for me to pick a side. So I've got no play on this.
Giants plus 8.5 at Cowboys.
This what? Number's going. It's going down, down, down. The only playable side for me is the Cowboys. It sounds crazy to give that many points with a team that's 0-4, but.
They're one and three. They falconed. Don't forget they got falconed.
But I don't want the Giants here either. I think the Giants defensively they're a sieve. Although they did look better last week, I don't know if the Giants have the offense to keep up with the Cowboys. And I assume that the Cowboys are just going to score points.
Of course, you don't have to have much of an offense to score points against the Cowboys.
It's true,
but I like the Cowboys to cover here. Colts and Browns now a pick 'em.
You know, I know a lot of sharp people are saying they like the Browns this week, and I could see this number opened at 3.
Yeah.
I could see liking the Browns getting 3 points at a pick 'em. I certainly don't like the Browns at a pick 'em. I don't know if I'm playing, but if I had to play, it'd be the Colts. And also, I think an under game.
I like the Colts here as well. Vikings plus 7.5 at Seahawk.
I like the Vikings. I think that... We saw, despite the Texans being garbage, we saw a little bit of what the Vikings are supposed to look like. And I think people had downgraded the Vikings so much after 3 weeks because the Vikings' expectations at the beginning of the season were very high. And I think they're starting to maybe find their groove, find their rhythm. They should have some success offensively against the Seahawks defense that we've talked about. It's bad. And I want to say something, like the last 16, 17 games, I think the Seahawks have covered, they've covered spreads of more than 7 like once.
Yeah,
I mean they don't win games by more than a touchdown. They play close games.
I think you'll see similar to what you saw last week, a heavy dose of Dalvin Cook, and they'll try to slow the game down a little bit so that Russell Wilson's not out there winging it all over the place. And I think the Vikings cover, and I like them at 7.5. Charger plus 8 at Saints on Monday night.
I like the Chargers. That's too many points.
Yeah,
I don't love that Chargers team. Justin Herbert's been good though. I'm not a full buyer in the Saints. They've had some nice performances. I'm still not 100% sold on them. I'll take that many points with the Chargers. You know, the Chargers defense isn't as good as I thought it was.
No, we thought they were going to be great.
And they've had a lot of injuries. I get it, but ugh.
All right.
That's nothing on Titans Bills, huh?
No.
There's no line, huh?
There's no line, and we don't even know if that's going to happen.
That's true.
Although, before the Rona thing, like the Bills were barely a favorite. I love the Bills under three
if you can ever get it.
Yeah, well, I don't know what we're going to get now, but I'll be all over the Bills no matter what the number is, frankly. But if it's where it was, then I'm definitely on the Bills. I was just mad I couldn't get down on it, but they probably would have canceled it.
They would have canceled it. That's what they did to me with the Patriots last week. And which I was kind of glad about, but
yeah,
if they have to move a game or change the location, most books are going to just cancel bets, which to their credit, I think is the right thing to do.
And Sansober still trying to argue with me on Twitch that it's okay for the players to quit on the field. Said we can't say they did or didn't go to the owner, and maybe the only way to get the point across was to suck on the field. I'm sorry. I will never respect anyone.
I don't respect that either.
I never respect anyone who doesn't give their best effort because they don't like somebody.
Because then you're just as culpable as the coach, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that goes to your character, and that's not a player I want. And if JJ comes out and has 5 sacks and Deshaun throws for 450 on Sunday, then I'm actually going to lose respect for them for that. Because that means they were intentionally not playing well. And I have a real problem, or not putting effort in. And I have a real problem with that. What I don't have a problem with is new brakes. And guys, this company is fantastic. And I hear every day from somebody else who uses new brakes and says the same thing. They're fantastic. They do everything that we say they're going to do. And that's all they do is brakes. So if you're having problems with your brakes, don't go to a dealer right now. Why do you want to do that? Because you're going to have to sit there for a few hours while they work on it. They'll probably find something else wrong. Well, New Brakes is going to come and fix your brakes at your place. If you want to sit at home and watch football in your underwear, they'll come and fix it while you're doing that. You don't have to give up a big chunk of your day. And you know, if you're at work, like if you're able to go back to your office, you want them to come do it there, they'll do it there. They're convenient. They're 20 to 50% more affordable than shops and dealers on average. They're backed by a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. And the cool thing is, if you just go to newbrakes.com, N-U-Brakes.com, and fill everything out, they're going to get back to you within a couple of minutes, and they're going to have a quote for you, and you can set the whole thing up. Mention ESPN, 10% off your service. Newbrakes.com, N-U-B-R-A-K-E-S.com.
ESPN 97.5.